Dave Atkins is a frequent contributor to Unreal Bluegrass. He's released a new album, Right or Wrong, on Mountain Fever Records. Great album. We're going to talk to Dave in the second hour of today's program about the songs, how he came to put them on the album, and just have a good time talking with Dave. It's always a fun guest. We're going to chat with our good friend Dave Atkins. I'm really happy to welcome back Dave Atkins to Unreal Bluegrass, a frequent contributor, and always happy to chat. I will tell the audience this too, David, before I let you speak. Dave and I have not only talked a lot on the air, we've talked a lot off of the air. And those things didn't always make it on, but I just want to let you know there's a familiarity between Dave and I, and if it peeks through, it's because we've talked about stuff, just stuff. And it doesn't always get on or connected to a recording or something Dave is doing in the bluegrass field. But if it gets that way, that's just the reason why. Dave, how are you?
I'm good, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing good, doing good. Really enjoying Right or Wrong. Dave has a new album. Has it officially been released yet, or just I get it early? I know I got it early, but what's the official release date on Mountain Fever?
Well, now, Steve, you know, you get all my stuff early. So, you know.
That's
I think you're kind of tired of this record by now. You've had it for several months.
No, son. Listen, I got it. It's on Mountain Fever. We want to give them credit. We're going to go through the songs as much as we need to.
Mark caught it.
Mm-hmm, Mark, who always takes care of me. That's why I get stuff right away. There are 10 songs on it, and I'll tell you the song that I've played three of them. I know for a fact I've broadcast three different songs. Blue, Blue Rain, I've also played... often Blood Feud, and I also played I Can Only Imagine, but there's so many more great songs on here. I think I Can Only Imagine, has that just been released as a single recently?
Yeah, it was so Friday, the 9th of this month, 9th of March, this past Friday, or whenever that was. I'm a little scattered, so just look over me.
All right.
But March the 9th, the record was released to everybody. It came out, and the Tuesday before that, the single, the second single, I Can Only Imagine, came out.
That's right.
So, so much response from this record. You know, you always want to try to do your best, and, you know, you don't get to make a ton of these, and you always try to put forth your best effort, and, the response we're having so far has just blown me away. So, I'm just really tickled. Thank you for your kind words.
No, listen, and if people haven't heard David sing, they will on this program. If they haven't seen Dave play, you need to do that. You have one of those voices, and we're going to get into the record here. Dave has one of those voices that is, I can only describe it as very powerful, very soulful, and it also speaks a lot of emotion. And that's important because the songs on Right or Wrong cover all that range. I mean, there's upbeat things. There's a lot of heartbreak things. There's the single we just talked about, I Can Only Imagine, is, I know, very dear to you, a topic that's very dear to you. And, man, you get to sing with Cord again.
You know, how can you go wrong with Larry Cord?
You can't.
I mean... You know, that's nothing but check marks and positives. and I tell everybody, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, if everybody that, and everybody on the earth has a hero somewhere. They have somebody that they look up to in some point, some level. And Larry Cordell's picture should be in the dictionary under what that person should be like when you meet him.
Mm-hmm.
He is just absolutely the nicest, sweetest, most dearest fella, and he's become like family to me. And to get him to write with me on this song, on Blood Feud, and to get him to sing with me, it was a bucket list. It was a huge honor for me, and I'm just so thankful to him for doing that.
Even though, David, and the tune Blood Feud, I want to talk about a little bit, it's involving, the time in our history of the Civil War and just the things that happened there, but you write it with Cordell, and you sing it with Cordell, and even though you have become as familiar as you say, and we've talked about this before, you still got to be sitting there thinking, I'm writing and singing with Larry Cordell. It has to happen to you.
You know? So, I'll tell you, we're in the studio in Nashville, and I'm in there, and I've got my earphones on, and I've got my, you know, I've got my lyric sheet in front of me, and Cord and the engineer is out here, and you know they're looking through this big window at me, and I don't want to look at him when I'm singing, so I don't want to be nervous. So I kind of turn sideways, and I'm looking at the wall, and I do, you know, the first verse on the record. So we start out, I sing my first verse, and I'm thinking, okay, Dave, that's not bad. That's not bad. You know, that's pretty good. So all of a sudden, I hear the talk, you know, when they go to push the talk back button for somebody in the studio to talk to you while you're in there through your headphones, it makes a little click. So I hear the click, and I'm like, all right. And then all of a sudden, it's like, hey, Davey, this is a song about hillbillies, you know, what me and you are. Let's just go ahead and leave our accents on this, and it's okay. And at that time, I'm standing there, and I'm thinking,
who is this?
Larry Cordell is telling me how to sing a song in a studio in Nashville. And I get all tore up, and I'm like, I need a second. And he said, why? And I said, well, man, I said, this is just hitting me. I said, I'm working with you. And he said, well, I hope it don't take you long to get over it. He got the studio for much longer.
That's great. That's great.
We had a great laugh.
You know, he's one of those guys. We're not here to talk about Larry Cordell, but we are for a second. He's one of those guys that, and I always thought Lester Flatt did this too. It's like they're talking the song. It's like they're not really, you know, like some singers, but it's like they're just talking, but they're singing. But it's so easy for him to get the words and get that emotion through. And he also has that very soulful blues thing that you have. By the way, one of my guilty pleasures that I'll sneak a tune in every once in a while on the program is his Lynyrd Skynyrd album.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
You know, that album is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's you know, pure Lynyrd. It's pure
thought,
Lynyrd.
You know, yeah, who would have thought that? I mean, you know, I'll aggravate him and I'll be like, "Hey, is there going to be a Lynyrd Standard Time anytime soon?" And he's like, "A Lynyrd Standard Time? He can get at it." But you know, he is. He's just. They say to get a good song across that you've got to paint a picture.
Yeah.
And if there is a better picture painter in our business, I don't know of it. There's some just as good but better. I don't see it. He's amazing.
And Blood Feud shows off both of your talents in writing and singing, and clearly there's a connection between the both of you. And it's a great story. It's a great song. I do play it a lot, and I knew you'd appreciate the fact that being there with Cordell and writing with him, and even though I, as you described, he's become familiar to you, but still, I figure every moment it's got to be that wow factor there.
It is. It's pinchable, and I mean that with all as honest as I can be. It's a pinchable moment, and you know the thing that got me, and I'll say this real quick, and we'll go on. When I sang, I wrote the first verse. And I had just thinking about starting on the second one. And when I sang it to Cordell and I asked him if he would be interested in helping me write that, because he's a history buff like I am, he loves history. And he told me, yeah. He said, now, son, you know that now this is going to be some work here. He said, now, we're going to have to do some homework. And I said, yes, sir. I said, he said, because we want this to be right. And I said, yeah, I wouldn't want it any other way. For 6 months, we bought books. We read my youngest stepdaughter was Nancy McCoy in the Hatfield and McCoy's state play. And we read the play. We went through it, and we read four or five books and passed them back and forth for over 6 months just to get ready to sit down and finish writing this thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we really, you know, we come into it knowing what to do, and man, it's just something I'll cherish. As long as the good Lord lets me be on this earth, that's going to be one of my cherished moments.
Oh, that's a good one, and it gets a lot of airplay. I was immediately taken by Blue Blue Rain. I love the tempo on that. It's a nice up-tempo thing, which fits your style so well, although I will tell the people listening, David has a very flexible voice. You can. There are songs on here that'll tear your heart out, and you can also kick it up a notch. And I know, and I say kick it, seeing know that you kick whenever you play the guitar every once in a while. But Blue Blue Rain kicks it off right away, and that's just a nice tempo. I like to talk about the arrangement of songs on an album. I think you get everybody's attention right away. It's a great tune. I've got you writing parts of or all of four songs on this album. I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. And Blue Blue Rain, Jerry Sally, who is another dear friend, and him and Cordell is best friends. And
they're legends.
I love Jerry. Yeah. And, you know, the guy was on two Grammy winners last year, and I have been wanting to do one of his songs forever. And, I'll send him something every couple of months. Hey, Jerry, do you got anything you think would fit me? You know, you got anything that you'd like for me to hear? And when he sent me Blue Blue Rain, I immediately called him. I mean, you know, in 3 minutes I called him and I said, hey, he said, well, did you get the song? I said, are you sure you want me to have this? He said, yeah. I said, okay. I said, it's mine then. And, man, I just loved it.
It kicks off in high gear, which I think is, you know, sometimes it's a good way to kick it. You don't have to start off every album that way, but it's nice because you do have songs on here that the very next song, Goodbye Caroline, kind of flattens out the tempo. Beautiful song, and you sing it so well. David, do you think, you and I have known each other for a while, and I've seen you through several different groups and bands and iterations, I guess, of what you do. Do you feel like your choices of songs is changing? Do you feel like your voicing, and I don't mean by your voice, but your voicing is changing as you mature?
Yeah, I do. There's a lot goes into choosing songs, and like I was saying earlier, you only get to do so many of these, and you know, I've actually had people tell me, and I won't mention any names, but they're like, you know, hey, look, pick you up, you know, three or four really the songs that you think just get you from start to finish, and then just fill the rest of it up and then look for another one, because, you know, they're all not going to be hits and they're all not going to be this. And I said, you know, I can't do that.
You did not do that on Right or Wrong. You did not do that.
I've tried to do that on every album. And you know, I just think that when folks, when you're blessed enough that folks will buy your material and take it home to listen to it and ride up and down the road, I want them to have the best 10 songs that Dave Atkins can offer to them at that time. And you know, on this record, we were talking about a single, and I said I could shut my eyes, scroll down it, and stop, and that'd be it, and I'd be fine with it.
You're right.
You know, and that's honest.
There's no filler. Dave, there's no filler on this album at all. Each one of these songs stands alone. They could each be released as a single. They all have a different tonal quality in what you're doing, and you got so many great singers with you, and you picked out so many great songs. I don't like to get someone on the air and say, this is your best ever. That sounds a little patronizing, but I do think that you're, and I look at the picture on the front, Bud, and you've got a little bit of gray in that beard and a little bit in the temples. And I'm thinking that's what Right or Wrong is really about when we get to that song. I'm thinking that's you thinking about yourself and looking back and looking forward, but we haven't gotten there yet, the actual title song. So I do think there's a little bit of that, and there should be as a songwriter. You participated in writing the title cut, which is the 10th one on the album. But man,
yes, sir.
Goodbye Caroline. Is that a place or a person? I don't have the lyric sheet, and I've listened. I can't tell.
You know, it's Eli Johnson who sings for Doyle Lawson, plays bass in Quicksilver. Eli has been one of my favorite singers since he came on the scene, you know, a few years ago. And we play a lot of shows together through the summers, us and Doyle. And we were out in Oklahoma last year, and it was September, and we were going in the studio. We were actually going in the studio 3 weeks later. And we came off stage, and they were standing there, and Doyle was telling me how much he enjoyed my show, and it tickled me to death. And Eli came over, and you know, he had a big hug for me, and he said, hey, aren't you going in the studio pretty soon? And I said, yeah, man. I said, we're going in like 3 weeks. And he said, well, listen, he said, I would love to send you a couple of songs. Would you be okay with that? And I'm like, are you kidding me? I said, dude, I would love that. And he actually sent three songs, and that one was the second one. And when I got to it, I heard that, you know, I did it. I put that song on there the way the demo, almost the way the demo was. I just loved the arrangement mm-hmm. and the way that he had it.
It's pretty.
And I called him and I said, man, do you really want to give this song away? I said, this is beautiful.
Dave, you can't call everybody that gives you a song
well,
and give them a chance
to
change their mind.
You know, when I hear something that's really special, I want to double make sure.
Are you sure?
That, you know, so I said, oh, now are you? I said, now you may want to sing that later or, you know, something like that. And he said, hey, listen. I know exactly what I want to do with it, and I want you to have it if you'd like to put it. And I actually took one of my songs off the record to put Goodbye Carolina on there.
It's pretty. It's a pretty, and it's you're going. You got a couple of traveling. You got a couple of moving on songs. Some of them you're leaving, and you got a couple on here, like the very next one, Him in West Virginia, and also Tired of Lonesome, where the singer's being left behind. You know, it's one of those sad ones, like you come home and they're gone, but the very next song is Him in West Virginia, and it's a bit of an up-tempo tune, but that one, the singer's, his ship has sailed.
Yeah, he's done for it.
He's done. She's on California. He didn't figure it out yet.
Yeah.
It's kind of like by the time I get to Phoenix.
Yeah, exactly. You know, him in West Virginia, a guy by the name of Greg Priest heard me on the radio. Somebody had played a song somewhere where he was listening to the radio, and thank goodness he looked me up on Facebook, and he sent me a message, and he said, hey, my name's Greg Priest, and I'm originally from Kentucky. I now live in West Virginia. I write songs, and you know, I've had a few recorded, and I would love to send you a couple that I think may work. And I said, you know, man, I'd love to hear them, and I do. I love it. I get stuff all the time.
I'm
get
sure
folks
you do.
That send me stuff, and I tell you, I'll listen to them. Now I'm picky, but if I tell you I listen to them, I'll listen to them. And I honestly had one guy sent me 500 songs one time.
Holy moly.
And I didn't listen to all of it, but I did listen to a little bit of each of them.
You listened to enough.
But exactly. You know. You
can
know.
Tell. You can tell.
That's right. And when he sent two songs, and I heard the first one, and I thought, man, that's a good song. And then I got to Him in West Virginia, and I said, okay, this is it. And oh, man, it's just, that is grass, man. That is just straight ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Right down the middle bluegrass, and yeah. I love it.
Did you call him to make sure?
I actually did. I said, no, you're...
man,
I just want folks to make sure that they're, you know, double sure that they want me to have a
Are you for really
good,
sure?
You know? Yeah, I said, now, are you for real sure that... I said, now, if I put that on there, now, hit mine. So, you know.
That's all right. Well, it's a good one. It's a great, like you say, it's right down the middle. You do. There's another tune on here that's just right down the middle. Well, lots of them, but that's right down the middle. Then the next cut is Blood Feud, which we've talked about, you and Coral. That's just, man, that's a powerful version of that story that you're talking about. I love that song. Then right after that, you get right into that single we were just discussing, Slow the Tempo Down. You get right into I Can Only Imagine, and I know that's important to you on this album, and there's other songs that are that do have a gospel reference to it, but this is clearly Dave Atkins singing about something you strongly believe in.
Well, thank you, my friend, and you know, this song came out in 2000 by a contemporary Christian group called Mercy Me. The guy that wrote it by himself. His name is Bart Miller. He's a great singer, great songwriter. And this song broke a record. It was number one on almost every genre in the country.
Really?
Gospel, pop, rock, country. I think it was number one on five different Billboard rating systems. It was that big of a song. So, I'd sang it in church a few times years ago, and we were going down the road headed to a show, and Mitchell Brown, who is my bass player, my band leader, and just one of my best buddies, he's been with me a couple of years now, and I had him help me produce this record, and we worked really close on a lot of this record. And so we're going down the road, and he said, "Hey, man, listen, I think you need to do this gospel song." And I said, well, which one? And he just pulled his phone up and put it on the radio, and he played that song. And it started, and I said, "Are you sure? You really think I should do this one?" And I said, "But this arrangement," I said, "it was such a big song." And he said, "Man, it's been, 18 years since this song came out."
Oh, wow.
And he said, "I think it's time." And I said, "Well, and there's a lot of synthesizer. There's a lot of music on the original recording."
Yeah.
And he said, "That's why we need to just strip it down." And I said, "Just go completely away from what they did, but keep it the same." And he said, "As muddy as that is, that's what we're saying." So it was clear to us what we had to do.
And you nailed it. You absolutely nailed it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, man. It turned out to be special. When we went in to record the tracks and everything, and I was singing the rough version of it, and I'm looking, and Mark Hodges has got big tears in his eyes. All the guys in the room has got chill bumps, and they're showing each other. And I'm standing back here, and my lips quivering, and I'm like, okay, we're doing something special to this. Yeah. And it's just probably one of my favorite recordings.
Well, I'll tell you what, and by the way, if you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Dave Atkins about his brand-new album, Right or Wrong on Mountain Fever. Dave, at the top of this show, of which this interview will be featured, I'm going to start off with Blue Blue Rain. Before we get to the interview portion, since we've talked about Blood Feud, but I will also play, I'll play that before the interview starts. And I think I should finish our interview portion with I Can Only Imagine. And that won't be the only songs that I play, but I would like that, unless you want another one to pull up. Right as the interview portion stops in the program, I'm going to pull in I Can Only Imagine.
I think that would be great, man.
Be nice.
And Steve, thank you so much. Man, you've always been, and like you said earlier, we've talked a lot off the record.
Off the record.
As much as we have on the record.
Yeah.
And, man, you're just a dear friend, and you have been a supporter since day one, and it's invaluable to me. I can't tell you what that means to me, and thank you. Your friendship means a lot.
It same back to you, and you make it easy, Dave. And we're not done yet, by the way. Right after this song, which does all those things and makes those people cry and brings up all those images, then you hit it right away with Roll Little River, which is, again, I love the sequence of that. You have the one that slows it down to get all these images, and then you hit it right away with a short, quick Roll Little River. You wrote that with some other co-writers, but I love the timing of it. That's a nice little short punch, right there song. And I
isn't
love
that
the way
different?
Yeah.
I mean, that little song, man, me and Terry Faust were starting on that, and we started that, 2 or 3 years ago. And we were going down the road one night, and I was driving the bus, and Mitch and Carl were sitting behind me, and I'm just, I sing all the time, just kind of under my breath, and I was singing, and I was like, hey, what is that? I haven't heard that. That's, I like that. And I was like, well, it's a song that we started a couple of years ago, and so they got with me, and we finished it up, and it just, man, you wouldn't believe how many folks have messaged me and said, hey, that's my You know, that's my new favorite bluegrass tune.
It's a good one.
And, you know, you got to have a killing song, so he killed her. You know, and it's just bluegrass, you know.
It's part of it. And it's right on the dot 2 minutes. Right on the dot 2 minutes. 2 minutes. How'd you nail that just
short
like that?
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet it is. And it's perfect timing for where it falls on the album. Cold in the Ground is kind of a starts off a little slow, a little old kind of fiddle, and then it kicks off a little bit. But Cold in the Ground is about a lot of things. But talk about that for just a minute.
Well, it's a fellow in Nashville by the name of Sheryl Blackman, who is an amazing record pusher. You know, he was in Rolling Stone magazine as one of the 10 most powerful businessmen in Nashville.
Wow.
And he became a dear friend of me.
That explains why I don't know him. Go ahead.
Well, we got to be buddies by accident. Okay. It wasn't by, you know. But okay. We got to be really good friends. And I have put something that Sheryl has sent to me on every album I've done. And I just... You know, it may be 3-4 months before I hear from him, and then my email will pop up, and it'll be, hey, I think you might want to check this one out. I can hear you doing it. And that happened to be one of those songs that I just loved. And, you know, I tell people that that's my Steel Driver's contribution on this.
Okay, thank you for that. Thank you for that. You know, I wasn't going to say that, but thank you for that.
Yes, you were.
I was not, but I thought... But it's a little dark, and all right, I'm with you on it. I'm with you on it. I will let it go with that. People can listen to it and get what they want out of it. But it starts off nice and slow, then it kicks in, and I love the sequence of these songs. I don't know who chooses these things, whether you do it or in conjunction with somebody else, but I love the way that follows Cold in the Ground. Then we get to another one of those. I coupled the ninth cut with the third cut because the ninth she's leaving again. And she's tired of being lonesome, and that's one that you also co-wrote.
Well, I actually wrote that one by myself.
Is that the one? That's why I have 2 stars by it. I didn't recognize what I'd written down. All right.
That's the one that I wrote by myself. And, you know, we were out on the road last year a lot, and our May was just huge. We had 16 or 20 shows in May, and I wasn't home very much, and one day, one evening, I'm on the phone with my wife, and I said, you know, honey, I said, I'm tired and lonesome because I was missing her pretty bad, and that just kind of stuck in my head, and I wrote the first 2 verses in the chorus, and I come home, and I said, hey, check this song out, you know, and I sang it to her, and she said, well, it's okay, and I said, well, what do you mean it's okay, and she said, well, you got to have a third verse. She said, it just sounds like this guy's just mean, but he's not. She said, they're just living different lives, and it's not working. And I thought, wow, you know, okay. So that's when I added the third part about, you know, my job took me on the road, and I guess too many nights alone were just more than she could stand.
Yeah.
And man, it's one of my favorites. It really is.
It's a sad one. It's a powerful one. It's a sad one. I have my note that you wrote it, and I distinguished it by 2 stars, but I couldn't make out why I had 2 stars on it once we started talking. But that's how I kind of scribble little notes on a sheet when I get ready for these things.
2 out of 5 ain't bad where I'm from.
It ain't bad at all. You're right. And the last song, Dave, I think is, you co-wrote that one. I have that written out. You co-wrote that one.
I did.
Right or Wrong, the title cut's the last cut on the album. And I believe that you, as the way you sing it, and the song is about this, and people can hear it often enough, and they will. It's kind of like, look back at where you've been, look kind of, and I'm not singing words to it, and look where you're going, and make sure that where you've been is where you want to be, and where you're going to go is where you want to go, is my paraphrase. And I'm thinking maybe that you feel that, you're looking back on your career and things you've done, and you talk about, you know, it's not talking about singing as a career, it's talking about life issues. But we all have to stop a little bit every once in a while, and we should maybe every day think about what I did most immediately yesterday, and then the time before that, and am I happy with what I've done and what I'm going to do in the future, and will I be happy with those positions that I take then or I do?
You know, man, I've got a huge smile on my face, Brother Steve, and I tell you, you really hit it on the head, man. It you can't change what you've done. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can do that's going to change what you've done in your life. But you can change what you do tomorrow. And my grandfather, God bless him, I miss him so bad, but he used to tell me if I would do, and even growing up, you know, little things as a young kid or, you know, something mischievous, and he would always say, you know, are you going to straighten up? You know, what if you didn't have time to change?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's been with me so long, and that I woke up one morning, and I had just this, I had this crazy dream that I was an old man, and I was looking at life, and this dream was just so vivid to me, and I had watched so many things go by, and I just woke up, and I went in, and I got a piece of paper, and I wrote down, you know, if you wake up in the morning, and all your hair turned gray, and suddenly you realize 30 years had slipped away, would you look back on the things you did,
yeah. You
know, with a smile on your face, or would you pray to the good Lord, help me live better today? And it just went from there.
Yeah,
I got my dear friends, David Morris and Don Kenny, to help me out on it, and we finished it up. And, man, that's just another special. This CD is just full of special songs to me, and I really, I'm scared to death because, you know, I thought after the self-titled CD, I said, boy, this thing, I think I've done pretty good. This may be hard to match, and with this one, I don't know. I'll do the best I can, but this thing is just full of stuff that I love.
Yeah, it's a great CD, and as I said, in all honesty, each one of these songs could be released as a single. The title cut, Right or Wrong, we're talking about just now because it happens to be the 10th one on the album, but I think it's just, and I know Dave Morris. I know of Dawn Kenny. I don't know her, but I know Dave Morris just from hanging around and Raleigh and doing stuff like that. And I respect both of them greatly. And I think you all put together a great song with that idea that you had. And it really does work well.
Thank you. And you know something, and this is true, and I'm not just saying it's because you're, we're interviewing right now. This is honestly the way I feel. I love you because you're honest. And I've talked to you about my records before, mm-hmm. and you're like, you know, there's a couple of really, you know, there's two or three special, you know, well, you know, hey, maybe that ain't my cup of tea, but it may be somebody else's. But you're honest, and you call it the way you see it. And for you to say that about these songs, that means the world to me.
Well,
and, you know, I asked you a lot of advice, mm-hmm. and I appreciate your honesty, so mm-hmm. thank you so much.
You're welcome. I wouldn't have said it. You're very kind. I wouldn't have said it if I didn't mean it. Before we take off, Dave, let's talk about some of these players you got. You've already mentioned Mitchell Brown, your bass player. You've also got the Duke of Drive, Terry Baucom on banjo.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, buddy.
Get out of here.
And you got the Prince of Power picking on mandolin, Adam Steffi.
You know, it's ridiculous. I mean, really.
He drives the bus. He drives the bus on that man. He doesn't tinkle around.
Oh,
he
gosh.
Can flat drive the bus on that mandolin.
You know, they're both absolutely amazing. And I have wanted to have Bach on one of my records for so long. And we did quite a few shows with them last year. And we played with Steffi and those guys a bunch. And Barry Crabtree plays with me on the road full time.
Okay.
He's been with me 2 years now, and been with me four altogether. And I love Barry Fangio playing, but when we went in to do this record, he said, you know, man, just get a banjo player and just go ahead, do your thing. And I said, okay, you know, and I called Bach, and he said he would love to, and he came down, and I ran into Steffi at a show, and I said, well, you know, Terry Baucom's playing on my new CD, and I just think it'd be great to have you on it. And he said, Bach, really? Okay, yeah, man, I'm in, you know. So I got those guys.
Justin Moses I know of, and I've become more familiar with him over the last couple of years. I don't know him.
That guy
He's a pretty talented fellow.
He's sick. I mean, people like that make me sick. He plays anything with strings. And they don't just play it. He plays it great. He's married to Sierra Hall.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the guy is phenomenal. He did the fiddle and the dobro on every song except I Can Only Imagine. And when we were working on that, my all-time favorite fiddle player is a guy by the name of Tim Kreutz,
mm-hmm.
Who plays, again, everything with strings, everything without strings. There's nothing that guy can't play. And, you know, we called him up, and he did exactly what we wanted on I Can Only Imagine, and Justin Moses played the rest of it. My lead guitar player, from last year, played with me all year, an Army veteran by the name of Kyle Leopard,
mm-hmm.
played guitar on it, and I was just so tickled with how good he played. But here is where the downside comes in. He fell in love with a Kentucky girl. He moved up here, and he's getting married. He's got a baby on the way, and it's bye-bye music, and, you know, I've lost another one. But I wish him the best. He did a great job.
Isn't that great, though? Isn't that good? That's so cool for him, and he'll still be around. We'll find him around somewhere, and you'll get a guy to you know, at least show up and do those parts, and you know, that's great. That's great news for him. I'm happy for him.
Me too. And he's really a good guy, and I appreciate. I thank him. I thank all the veterans for their service.
Oh, yeah.
I always do. I thank every one of them because they're why we get to do this.
Yeah.
I had Carl Caldwell, who is my lead guitar player. He was my mandolin player, but he's my lead guitar player now. And I had him come in and do the tenor work on a lot of the stuff. Mitchell Dunn, you know, my bass player, did the baritone work on a lot of it. And then I got my dear friend and Mountain Fever sister, Amanda Cook, to come in and sing.
You even got Mark Hodges to sing on here.
Mark Hodges sang on one or two.
You got a host of singers on here, man.
I'm telling you, we just have fun. I mean, we had a blast making this record.
Sounds like it. Sounds like it when you hear it, too. I really do think, David, you know, I'm not going to say it's better than what you've done in the past. That's crazy talk. But I do think you're really hitting on all fours on this one, and I think you should be proud of each cut on here. And I'm real happy for what you've done here on Right or Wrong. I really am.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You know, man, Blood Feud has been the number one song in the country.
I saw that.
That tickled me to death. Blue Rain is at number five on, I think, one of the Roots reports. You know, so
I might have good taste after all, Dave.
I'm telling you, it's more and more, you know. Four out of five bluegrassers say you're the way to go.
I do. I also get to vote on those things, so I'd have a little bit of a percentage point in some of those items. But it's all great, man. You're gonna get a lot of exposure out of this, more of, and I look forward to seeing you down the road somewhere in person. I'm sure I'll find you somewhere on the road.
Thank you so much, man. God bless you. You've always been great, and thank you for having me. I do a lot of video, a lot of interviews, and I love doing these things, and you know, I love to get to tell anybody about my music and how that we get the music that we get. But you're always one of my favorites. I always look forward to yours just a little bit more than I do most of them. And thank you for that.
You're
a dear friend.
You are too. You're very kind, David, for saying those words, and I appreciate your time. I'll let you get back to your family, bud, and we'll catch each other down the road somewhere.
God bless you.
You
thank you, my friend.
Thanks. Bye.